So I thought we'd spend just a little time starting off a sugya. That's a very, very Nogela Maiso sugya in many, many people's minds. And we touched on it a little bit in some of the drush that we said last week, 2 weeks ago. So I want to learn, it's really the sugya of Yasafta de Ganecha. It's a sugya that appears at the beginning of the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. A machlekes atanoim, but appears to be a very simple machlekes atanoim. How to say, how to learn taich in the pasuk in Chumash. We say the pasuk at least twice a day, every day. So if we daven maariv early, some people are davening maariv before this man these days. So hopefully they're saying it three times a day when they repeat parashat Kriya Shema. So we are safta de ganecha. So the Torah tells us that we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's going to be wonderful, it's going to be great. And we are safta de ganecha, we're going to collect all our grain and wonderful. So Rabbi Ishmael says that the Torah is describing, in a sense, an agricultural society. We can extrapolate to other kinds of worlds that we live in today. The Torah is describing people going to work. If you have safta de ganecha means you're going to go to work. Now, any farmer will tell you that if you go to work, you know, you're not just going to come out one day in 5 minutes and collect your grain. There's the whole process. Because remember Masechet Shabbos, you have to be chayresh and zarei and kaitz and amr and dash. There's a long, long, long process. It takes a lot of time for the farmer to be zeichet to be safta de ganecha b'sirash chavitzarecha. Rabbi Shmuel says, good. So the Torah is describing that. Obviously, what the Torah is describing is hanei b'minik derech eretz. But the Torah is obviously sanctioning and describing a Torah society that people are going to work. So Rabbi Shmuel poses the question, aye, but on the other hand, we read about there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Pesukim and Sefer Yeshua speak in very strong terms about V'agiseh b'yom v'layla, learning all the time. V'yom v'sefer Torah is demipicha. So it's very nice to think that the farmer's got his shirim on all the time. But it's not so practical. The guy's out in the field, out in the trenches, farming and plowing and harvesting, etc. So probably hours are going by in his life that he's not learning. So how you talking? How can it be? So Rabbi Shmuel says it can be. What's the big deal? Obviously, the Torah is telling me that it's okay to work, and that's not considered to be a violation. That's clearly what the Rabbi Shmuel is interpreting the psukim. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai responded back to Rabbi Shmuel, and he said, no. He said, it's impossible to say such a thing. He says, Ef sharadim cherish b'shas cherisha, zarei b'shas zariya, kaitza b'shas ktsira, Torah matei aleha. It's inconceivable that the Torah would have depicted a society that's working and working and working, spending hours and hours on end in the fields. So Rabbi Shmuel said, hours and hours on end in the office, hours and hours on day in the hospital working. How you talking about is that? Torah matei aleha. Can't be. So what's pshat in the psukim? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gives a krechts and he says it must be that the psukim are describing not such a good society. The Torah is describing bizman she'ein osim etzene shemachlan, that the Torah is addressing a reality of klai so not up to par. If they would be up to par, they wouldn't be subject to this klal of esaf to the ganecha. How would they get food? So what's the Torah society supposed to be? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that minachutz, that others are going to provide for our sustenance, people who are not sitting and learning. So maybe if everybody, mamish, if all of Christ falls also with Tzadish HaMachom, so it must be that the non-Jews are going to provide for our sustenance. But to say that the Torah is depicting what's supposed to be, it's after the Ganech HaKsiv, everyone's supposed to be working hours on end for months at a time. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that's impossible because the Torah would never depict such a society as an optimal society, because how would that fit with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? It's not lo yitochin. So you have a very, very critical machlokes in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel as to what exactly the Torah model is. Is v'staf de ganecha a good thing or not such a good thing? Of course, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what does that mean that it's not such a good thing? But the Torah just said, v'hayom shemot tishmo mitzvosai. So the answer is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, yeah, people are not so bad. If they'd be really bad, then it would be, v'evadetem hemri ala satoiva, v'aritzitanishivula. So it's not so bad. It's not so good either. So it's somewhere in the middle. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says there are three levels of society. There's a society when people are mamish, v'shoim, gemurim, ovdi avodah zarah. So then the Torah says, you're not going to have this chus to be v'safta ganecha, you're going to lose all your crops. If you live in a perfect world where everyone's mamish sitting in shtag yom v'layla, mamish atayil avayda, not avayda sakaka, but it's a kabbalah, but it's a tefillah, everyone's mamish kedas chedin, so then no one has to worry about panos. It'll come, wherever it'll come from, it'll come. And now you're living somewhere in the middle, so then there's safta ganecha. So this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel appears to be a halachic machlokes. It appears to be a halachic machlokes as to what the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is all about. Rabbi Shmuel seems to have a very, very lenient approach to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar-Yochai has a very, very machmir approach. You can't stop for anything. You got to learn for no matter what. And Nebuch, if you live in a world where you don't have food, so what do you do? Nebuch, you got to go to work. So that if that's the machlokes theme of Shimon Bar-Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't seem to fit well with another gemara. It's a gemara in Maseches Menachos of Tzadi Tes. But the gemara quotes another machlokes, strangely enough, also between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar-Yochai. Also relates to Talmud Torah, and the different Tanaim seem to draw very, very different conclusions. So there, the Gemara discusses the fats, opens up with the following Shaila, that one of Rabbi Shmuel's nephews, Ben Dogma, was a nephew of Rabbi Shmuel. So he posed a question to his illustrious uncle. He said to him, "Kaveina ni shalamadati kol haTorah kula." He prefaced his question by saying, "I've already learned kol haTorah kula." I don't even know what that means, but whatever it meant, that's the way the Hilgit, he was a Talib in Dhamma. So he's presenting to his uncle, "Ani lamadti kol haTorah kula already." He says, "Ma'osh elech ve'elmud chachmas yavanus." Is it okay for me to go and learn other things? I want to go study other secular studies. I want to go study other principles. I want to go study Greek knowledge, whatever that means. Greek chachma, philosophy, whatever he had in mind. So he asked Rabbi Shmuel, "Am I allowed to do that?" So Rabbi Shmuel said, "No, you're not allowed to do that. Because Vagisa Bayom Valayla, it says the pasuk that you have to learn Torah Yom Valayla. Even though that pasuk is not a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Yeshua. But clearly, Rabbi Shmuel was interpreting that pasuk of Vagisa Bayom Valayla is qualifying the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the mitzvah of Deraisa. The Torah says, a million times you have to learn Torah. But the Torah never says how often, how much you have to learn. So apparently Rabbi Shmuel is learning that the pasuk in Yeshua is quantifying what exactly the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. And the pasuk says, Yom V'Layla. So Rabbi Shmuel turned around to his uncle, to his nephew, and he said, Yom V'Layla means Yom V'Layla. So he said to him in a little bit of a humorous way, say and go find this man Shalom Yom V'Layla, and then because of that, then you'll learn your chachmas as much as you want. When is there a time it's lo yom v'layla? Well, ben ashmashos. That's what he meant. Yeah, ben ashmashos is a suffik yom, suffik layla. So that's not going to help here. Unless you hold that ben ashmashos nash yom nish layla. That's a joke. If you hold like the chassidim, it's a very, very long ben ashmashos. You go to college for a long time. Every ben ashmashos, you got to get all your college classes in this man ben ashmashos. That's going to be hard to do. So it's anything I say about college is not, I'm just saying it's a joke. So don't nobody take me, don't quote me. There's a YU sponsored cheer. I gotta be careful what I say. So maybe you should cut out that line also. So again, we're just learning the sugya. We're not commenting. Nothing I'm saying is meant to be serious yet. We're just commenting on the sugya. So Rabbi Shmuel now sounds to contradict what he said in the sugya in Maseches Brachos. Here, Rabbi Shmuel is taking a very, very chumradic approach to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It sounds like there's no excuse. You can't stop for anything. So it's very strange. Rabbi Shmuel, who's the biggest machmir in Maseches Menachos and says you can't stop learning till you go learn Chachmas Yevanis, he's the one who turns around and says, but the farmer can go. The philosopher can't go learn philosophy, but the farmer can go work for months on end. Hanik ben derech eretz, yafet ha b'tar derech eretz. What makes matters even more confusing is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also appears in the Sugya Menachos, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel told his nephew he's not allowed to do it, all of a sudden Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no problem, you can go learn Chachmas Yevanis. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that the pasuk of Vegisa Bayom V'Layla doesn't mean you have to learn every single second. It means you have to learn every morning and every night a little bit. How much do you have to learn? A bare minimum. So you learn one mishnah in the morning, one mishnah at night. And the Gemara says, maybe even you say Kriya Shema in the morning, say Kriya Shema at night. You have to learn bare bone minimum. That's also good enough, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You want to learn more, that's great, that's wonderful, but we can't tell you. And therefore, a person who goes ahead and does Chachmas Yevanis, so Nishka loves Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That is the most startling statement I ever heard out of the mouth of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, no less. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who in Brachas Daf Lamed Hey, Ishrayin Chai V'Kayim, you can't even go to work because the Sabbath of Kadechas of Zaklola. You're not supposed to go to work because Termat Te'aleha. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is turning around and letting you learn Chachmas Yevanis because Vagis Yom V'Layla is not so serious. It just means a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. So the sugya is a hell of models. We don't understand Rabbi Shmuel Shita. We don't say Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Shita. Isn't this one sugya? Namely, doesn't this all depend on what your take is on Talmud Torah? Do you really believe that every single person is mechuyav to learn Yom V'Layla every single second of the day? Is that really true? If it's true, then you have to be consistent. If it's not true, you have to be consistent also. So the whole sugya is very, very difficult. So what's going on, everybody? So what's really going on in this sugya? So Rabbi Shmuel is almost the easiest shita to understand for the following reason. That the baseline of Rabbi Shmuel is Of course a person has to learn as much as they can. There's no excuse not to learn Torah. The Torah says, The Torah speaks time and time and time again about the significance of limud Torah. So of course a person has to learn all the time. But what is the hagdar of that mitzvah? What does it mean to learn all the time? What does that mean? Does the halacha require of us every single breathing moment of your entire existence in this world has to be involved in learning Torah? It's absurd. How can anybody say such a thing? It's understood that there are other things a person has to do. For example, mitzvahs. If you're going to tell me that v'gisa yom alayla yom sefer Torah zemipicha means that it is issa gomer to stop learning for anything under the sun, so when in the world is this guy going to eat matzah and Pesach night? When's he going to get shofar? When's he going to put on tefillin? When's he going to say Krishna? When's he going to do anything? So everybody agrees that, I think Mr. Alter, what's that phrase, Mr. Alter, about the absurdito something or other?
Absurdum.
I can, you know, I have like a mental block against that phrase, but whenever I just keep on coming to the Shia, I'll just keep on referring to you. I don't want you to get the bad reputation as being the person I refer to for the absurdity. That's the people going to remember you in years to come in the Shia. But I think everyone understands what I mean. So
any publicity is good publicity.
Any publicity is always good. Okay. So nobody can argue that the halakha requires a person never to do anything else of the existence of, for 120 years in this world, never to do anything except be sitting in front of a Gemara and Taisos. You can't be. It's not the way you talk about it. In addition, forget about mitzvahs for a second. There are other things that a person has to do. A person has to sleep. So what are you going to say? When a person's sleeping, what am I going to do? And Nebuch sleeping, that's the shot. Fundamentally, sleeping is a gross violation of Layom HaShefet Torah Zemibicha. What am I going to do? I got to sleep because if I don't sleep, I'm going to collapse. Or a person has to eat. So no, your Torah doesn't permit a person to eat. It's Pikuch Nefesh, it's a new heter. The only heter need is the heter v'chaibam, heter Pikuch. That's what the halach is. A very, very difficult religion to maintain. But the starting point is that a person can't talk to his wife, can't talk to his kids. So he's not allowed to crack a joke. That's what the Torah expects of us. That you're gonna, the Torah expects that every single Jew, the mitzvah of Yisrael is given to every Jew. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is given to every single Jew. So every single male Jew is mechuyah from the minute that he turns by mitzvah until his last breath in this world, never to do anything under the sun except for limud Torah. And Nebuch, everything that he does is a Nebuch, and everything we have to find is an excuse and a Bechaibahem, and it doesn't seem to make sense that seems to be the tzura of what Yiddishkeit is all about. That just doesn't seem right. So what is it? So what is the mitzvah Talmud Torah? So Rabbi Shmuel seems to be telling us what the mitzvah Talmud Torah is as follows. And this is a Hagdar Rabbi Chaim Wasserman gives, other Chaim give. What Rabbi Shmuel seems to be magdi, the mitzvah Talmud Torah is as follows. That whenever a person has the ability to learn Torah, he is supposed to be involved in the limud Torah. That is the most basic fundamental chiyuv that at least every male Jew has his entire life, to be involved in limud Torah whenever possible. Whenever one has free moments, supposed to be involved in limud Torah. Now, wait a second. We would just redefine the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Rather than saying that a person from the minute that he turns by mitzvah yom meisai has to be involved every second of limud Torah, I just wanted to do that a little bit. Means whenever possible, whenever free time, whenever able to be involved in the Torah, supposed to be involved in the Torah. So that now changes the name of the game. If that's the case, so then time when I'm not able to learn, time when it's not free, so it's not pshat that I'm being mevatel Torah. That's not the mitzvah Torah. I'm not mechuyav b'tamid Torah every single second of my existence. I'm supposed to learn Torah whenever I can learn Torah. So now becomes a question, what's called whenever I can? Does the halakha have certain guidelines and parameters? What's called ability? What's called available time to learn? And what's not called available time to learn? So now we can start to chisel away. The Torah also gave us mitzvahs to do. If a person spends their entire life learning and doesn't do any mitzvahs, that is not a good scene. Because I'll say, so we don't want to have a society, imagine a society of a person never ever does any mitzvahs. Nobody eats matzah, nobody hears shofar, nobody eats in the sukkah, nobody shakes a lulav, nobody says krishma, nobody davens, nobody gives tzedakah, nobody anything. Or if you're a malach, maybe you should do that. Maybe there's some love, the shivish malach, maybe they do that. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to do mitzvahs, then he wouldn't have given us 613 mitzvahs. He would have just simply told us, he has one mitzvah and do it yom v'layla and don't do anything else. So he didn't do that. So obviously built in the system is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to stop learning at certain times. So whenever the halacha mandates and dictates of us to stop learning, it's not pshat that it's bittul Torah. Is that that's not bittul Torah? That's not the mitzvah. I'm not mechuyev b'tam Torah. When I'm eating in the sukkah, I'm not mechuyev b'tam Torah. When I'm shaking a loaf, I'm not mechuyev b'tam Torah. When I'm putting on my tefillin, I'm not mechuyev b'tam Torah. Whenever I'm doing whatever else I'm supposed to be doing in my existence in this world, I am not mechuyev b'tam Torah. That's not called free time. Or now again, even within the realm of mitzvah observance, there are klalim. Let's say a person has a choice between learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So then the halacha tells us if it's a mitzvah she'ef shalasa sedei chayrim. Let's say there's a great tzedakah drive that has to take place. But there are 20 other guys who are not learning. They can take care of the tzedakah drive. Their neem will get all the money, all the appropriate money anyway. So then the halacha says, so then it's not important for you to stop. So then don't close your gemara. If the other guy's anyway not learning, let him run the tzedakah drive, unless he's not qualified to do so. So if it's a mitzvah she'ef shalasa sedei chayrim, let's say nobody else can get a shofar for me. Nobody else can put on tefillin for me. Nobody else can make kiddush for me. So nobody else can run the tzedakah drive because I'm the most qualified guy. And if I'll do it, so then we'll get a lot more money for the aniyim. So that's called iyev shalasas deichirim. So whenever you have a mitzvah that's iyev shalasas deichirim, so then it's for that moment in time, the Isaac in the mitzvah, you're not being mevatel Torah because that's not called free time. That's called preoccupied time. So some time is occupied by mitzvahs. Then there are other things that it's built into the system that are going to occupy your time. Still emotional sleeping. Look, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to sit and learn Torah 24 hours, 7 days a week, so that he would made us with the ability not to sleep. But he didn't give us the ability not to sleep. So he built, even if an adult slept for some time, you know, maybe he slept for less than I do, but everybody has to sleep. A person can't survive without sleeping. So the Gemara says if a person takes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for a week, so that's called the Shavuot Shav. He gets Malchus right away. It's impossible. So comes Allah and says that when you're sleeping, that's not bittul Torah. When it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're fast asleep, you don't have to clap al chayt. Oh yeah, I'm being mevatel Torah. Never know. You're doing what's appropriate. You're doing what the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is sanctioning. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't sanction it, then he wouldn't have created you with that need to sleep. A person is eating. So sometimes you can maneuver eating and learning at the same time, but sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard to do that. Versus preparing his food. So it's hard for to put the food in the microwave with the safe in his hands. It's not going to happen. So that's okay. So a person is eating. So he's not chayiv in the midst of Tamei Torah. It's built into the system that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should have a wonderful relationship with our wives. So built into the system is you can't have a wonderful relationship with your wife if you're not going to talk to her. You know, we say in the Shema Brachas, Samech the Samech Reim Ahuvim. So obviously Chazal understood that the Chazal say in Masechet Bamot Avos Ishto Kegufo, you have to love your wife like you love yourself. So if your wife wants to talk to you and you say, no, I can't talk to you because in the middle of a Tosfos, if you say it all the time, so that's not Mechab the Yosef Begufo. That's going to cause a Ragmas Nefesh. So a person has to be Mechabed his wife. He has to be Ohev his wife. The Gemara says, he's Zorbel, Nos Ishtai. If your wife is upset, and you said, sorry, I don't have any time for you because, I'm in the middle of Reb Chaim. So that's going to be on Noz Devarim. She's going to be insulted. She's going to be upset. So the Torah doesn't want that kind of a relationship that a person doesn't spend quality time talking to his wife. The Mishnah says, Al tar b'sichanisha. Okay, so then you have to figure out what that means. At what point is it past the point of what's considered to be within the realm of positive kind of relationship, but what's the point of just the stam at Devarim b'teilim? So, you know, different relationship, different couples have to figure that out. Not always so easy to make that, make that distinction. But leaving that mission out for a moment out of the equation, it's understood that the Torah wants me to spend time with my wife. It's also understood that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to spend time with my children. If Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want a parent to spend time with his children, so then he wouldn't have created the whole parent-child relationship. It means the whole, everybody knows, you're doing it for some, that if a child doesn't spend time with his parents, so that's going to be very, 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 very detrimental. So part of my mitzvah of chinuch and part of my mitzvah to raise a healthy, normal child is, of course, I have to spend time with him. So when I spend time with my child, spending time with my child, for most people, doesn't just mean learning a Tosfos with them. So I got to go to the backyard and throw a ball with them also. That's what they did. If the child's 20 years old, they still need the father to play basketball with them. I don't know, okay, they have to figure out, is that good or is that not good? That's a different story. But a little kid needs the father, not just a Hakubov Chinik over Tosfos. He has to play ball with him. So that's all part of a person being mechanic the children and loving the children and making the children healthy emotionally, physically, and emotionally healthy. So you're going to see every time that I go to the backyard and I toss a ball with my child, I never toss a visa pashati bittul Torah. What am I going to do? That's not bittul Torah. That's called normal. So whatever is within the realm of normal needs is obviously not within the realm of bittul Torah. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel meant in Maseches Brachos. Rabbi Asafta the Ganech Ksiv, the Torah is megala to me that going to work is normal. Going to work is providing a parnasa for yourself and your family. So you don't have to feel guilty when you're going to work, says Rabbi Shmuel, because you're doing what the Torah is accepting. The same way, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the ability, created the requirement to sleep and to eat and to spend time with your family, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that lemaisa you have to provide for parnasa. If HaKadosh, maybe if we lived in a perfect world, the one would come down in a Shemayim, that would be great. That's what the Ramayisha writes in the Tshuva. Even Rabbi Shmuel agrees, v'yosad lavo, it's not l'chatchila to work. It's not like, you know, we believe the phrase, what's it called, the Protestant work ethic, I think that's the phrase. Is that we believe that the perfect world, that everybody should be working for 8 hours a day? The perfect world, of course we'd love to go back to Torah. Of course we wish Adam and Misha wouldn't have goofed and eaten from the Eitz Hadas. We wouldn't have to possess the Bechatech Alechem. Of course we would love that the Manzina, so to speak, the literal figure of Manzina, come down Shemayim. Of course that would be great. It's not that we hold the Chathilas for the Chathilas. It's a great thing to schlep to work every day and spend 15 hours a day at the office. No. But the reality is, the way the world is in the year Tav Shin Pei, that you have to spend time at work or else you're not going to have food to put on the table. So when a person goes to work, he doesn't have to feel the chatas yavisa pashati. What's chatas yavisa pashati? The same way that you don't have to feel guilty when you're davening that you're not learning, and when you talk to your wife, you're not learning, when you sleep, you're not learning, you're not learning, when you're working, you're not learning. That's fine. That's perfectly okay. That's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel says. Hanig behem, minig der cheretz. I mean, that's part of the system. It's part. Time that's spent at the office is not called bittul Torah. If a person can finagle at work, he has a few minutes in between clients, and he has time, great, so those are free time. So then instead of going on your phone and playing some silly game in your computer or something, so go hop around, learn a Mishnah for the 10 minutes in between clients, that's gavaldik, that's murder. But a person has to commute to work. So sometimes commuting to work is possible to learn, sometimes it's not. So if it's impossible for him to learn when he's commuting, so his commuting is also part of his Vesaf to the Ganecha. But if it's guy's able to commute and he's on a bus and he has a little Mishnah with him, he's Mabasedra, or he's in the car and he's listening to a Shia, that's great. If he can't concentrate in the Shia, and he can't. But if he's able to concentrate and drive safely, so of course, Rabbi Shmuel would be the first one to say, Yimachuyav, to learn Torah. So Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Shmuel's Hadidara of Libra Torah is whatever is acceptable, whatever is considered to be a tzarech, that the halacha recognizes as a tzarech, that's not called bittul Torah. So that's what Ben Doma asked his uncle. He said, I want to go learn Chachmas Yavanis. So Rabbi Shmuel said to him, what's the tzarech for that? V'shteit, that's a tzarech. That's not eating, that's not sleeping, that's not talking to your wife, that's not doing mitzvah, that's not davening, it's not going to work. You want to stop, sit around and contemplate the way you want to learn whatever things, whatever Chachmas Yavanis was, whatever the mind of the equivalent is, just stop. So he says, like, what's the hetter for that? Kol HaTorah Kula. Ben Doma didn't have the chutzpah even to present the question, but before first giving the prerequisite, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. So Rabbi Shmuel said, so what? Since when is knowing Kol HaTorah Kula matter of bittul Torah? So chazer, so go learn some more. Go learn more Vian. Go figure out something else to learn. So it says chazer, whatever you know. Kol HaTorah Kula, second time around. So Rabbi Shmuel said to him that I'm the biggest makel in brachas because I hold this after ganecha is hadig ben dircheretz, but I'm the biggest machmir in chachmas yavanis because I hold that's a flagrant violation of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You're doing things that are not justified. There's no purpose for those kinds of studies. So that seems to be the worldview of Rabbi Shmuel in terms of this. I didn't say we pass the Shmuel, no pass the Rabbi Shmuel, but at least with Miyashiv, the quote unquote steer within Rabbi Shmuel. Right, so in terms of pure halacha, so Ben Zoma wasn't really allowed to do that because the mitzvah of Pir Verivya is a mitzvah she'ev shalasas de'acherim. So the mitzvah of Pir Verivya is a funny kind of a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah she'ev shalasas de'acherim, but it is a mitzvah that you can do a little bit later on. So it means I don't have to get married now and get married a little later. That's a lamashal. We find in halacha that even when a person reaches the age where they're quote-unquote mechuyev to get married, the poskim beginning of Ibn Ezra raise a question, why doesn't the mitzvah of Pir Verivya begin when a boy turns bar mitzvah? He has to put on tefillin when he turns bar mitzvah, so why doesn't he mechuyav to get married when he turns bar mitzvah? So the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says the ben shmanas on the chuppah. So why do you become mechuyav right away? So the Acharonim in the beginning of Eben Ezra write that it's understood that a person is allowed to have a little bit of a limud haTorah first. That's what the Gemara says in Kedushin. You're allowed to learn a little bit before you get married. So to tell every bar mitzvah at the age of 13 to get married, so that's going to mean getting married didn't just mean getting married learning a kollel. It means getting married means I meant to have to make a parnasa, because you do write in the ksuba that on a avad okay by finest lechet kichas guven yudain. It does say that in the text of the ksuba, contrary to some people's opinion. So a person gets married, they're mechuyev to go to work now. If they're lucky and someone's supporting them, it's a different story. But they are now they become mechuyev. Now if they get married at 13, so we hope and pray by the age of 14, we're going to have kids in us. Of course, they're going to have to start to go to work. So that's what the Acharonim write, that it's inconceivable that we should be mechayev a guy to get do the mitzvah per rivya at the total complete expense of his learning. So it's built into the system. Everyone gets a chance to learn a little bit. How long do you need to learn? So that's what the Acharonim write, the Nesekem, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph write, and Ebenezer write, that the Mishnah says that you're not going to really start to learn until you're 15 anyway, because that's been Chamesh Yisrael LeTalmud. Whatever you're learning as a little kid, you're learning in Chumash, little Chumash, little Mishnah, it's Cheid, that's not really learning. The real learning is going to start when you start doing the Ayin and what you're learning, so that's going to be at the age of 15. So at the age of 15, you're going to start to learn. So you're going to start to learn for a couple of years. You can learn for 3 years. By 3 years of learning, you're going to have a pretty good grounding in Limud HaTorah, and then it's safe enough to get married. What if a person at the age of 18 doesn't feel he's quite grounded in learning yet? He wants to learn a little bit more. So that's what the Gemara Kedushim says, that Rechaim B'Tzvah Riyasik B'Torah. So then, as long as the person is able to be careful in terms of Heruri Averi, he feels that he's comfortable on that level. I mean, nobody's 100 million percent, tell him Malachi Asharis. The person is basically living a life of Kedusha B'Torah. So then he's allowed to continue to learn a little bit more. I give up, but he's chayiv in Pirvei Rivya. So the answer is, it's Efsha, quote unquote, lasos de'achirim, not literally de'achirim, it's Efsha lishos. You can push it off, so you won't get married at the age of 18, you'll get married at the age of 20, you won't get married at 20, you'll get married at 21, 22, 23, you'll get married a little bit later. That's also like a bechin of Efsha lasos de'achirim, because Efsha l'kayim shneim. So, getting back to the story, so Ben Zoma was not even doing that. Ben Zoma was saying, Ben Azay was not even doing that. Ben Azay was saying that I'm not going to get married altogether. So that's what Tosis quotes from the other Mamar Chazal. That Ben Azay was not really the standard, the norm. He was like the honest Chorah Patre. He couldn't, not Shechashke B'Torah, to such an extent, that it just wasn't Shech. There was no way for him to get married and have a normal relationship with a wife. It couldn't be. Tosis quotes, maybe almost like Gedol, almost like a Pekuch Nefesh a little bit. That he just couldn't. He physically couldn't. I think there's Rishami that says that he married. There's a Saita. I forgot the Sugim Saita. And then Rishami Saita that it could be that he did get married, that he got divorced. He kid is going to catch from Ben Azza. That was a Yaitim in a cloud. But the basic starting rule is that a person's allowed to delay marriage in Pirvei Rivya a little bit in order to learn a little bit, and then you have to figure out at what point does that become already inappropriate. That's what some posts can write. You could delay past 18, you could delay past 20, maybe until 24. So 24, that's one shear the Gemara seems to say, that 25, Adkan Vela Yosef. Then one could argue that even if you're over the age of 24, so now you're mechuyev to get married no matter what. You have to find a girl who wants to marry you at the age of 24. Someone you want to, you're not mechuyev at the age of 24 to marry someone who you don't like. So then, you know, you have, if a person is still sitting around 26, 27, 28 and saying, I'm not dating, I'm not ready, I'm still learning, so that's not appropriate in halacha. But a person is trying, well, what do you want? I didn't get married until I was 29. I was trying hard. I started trying before I was 24. It wasn't matzliach. Baruch Hashem, as very matzliach at the end. But so those years, those honors are chamar patre. So what are you gonna do? You're trying. It's not matzliach. So the Ben Azay is probably the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. So Rabbi Shmuel's version of what the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is and is not is pretty straightforward. That it's really a very, very simple equation that you have to learn whenever you can, but you have to be mindful. What does that mean whenever you can? It clearly can't mean every waking moment and sleeping moment. So there have to be certain guidelines. So Rabbi Shmuel seems to differentiate between the two, that Derech Eretz in the sense of Parnasa is an acceptable, you know, quote-unquote excuse to call it, this is not free time, whereas the Chacham Tzivanis doesn't seem to be something that Rabbi Shmuel was willing to buy into. The real problem, the more profound problem, the sugi is Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon Bechai almost says the exact opposite. Rabbi Shimon seems like he was okay with the Chacham Tzivanis, but then he turns around and he says that, but you can't go to work. So how could that be? That doesn't seem to fit into, that's the almost antithesis of what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. So how do you miyashi what Rabbi Shimon Yochai said? So hopefully that's Hashem. In the next year, we'll try to figure out. We get half the share of Rabbi Shmuel. Now the second half of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, we have to figure out who we paskin like, or maybe a combination of the two we paskin like. It's not clear exactly what the final word is. Hopefully that's Hashem. We'll continue this thing a little bit. Okay, you can turn off the recording.